Part of worship is that we read from God's Word. We do that now from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Our text is found in verses 15, 16, and 17 of this chapter. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And here's our text. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. We stop in our reading of his word at that point. Our text is taken from Luke 18, verses 15, 16, and 17. An incident that Dave and Pam selected as the text that they wanted to have preached on the occasion of the baptism of Malia. This incident is important. If only we can draw that conclusion from the fact that both Matthew and Mark, as well as Luke, record it. Now, it is interesting to note that in the other narratives, Matthew and Mark were given to know more immediately the context. It seems from them that Jesus did not speak this parable right before these parents or while these parents were coming to Jesus. And instead, if we look at the narratives of the gospel as recorded by Matthew and Mark, we find that Jesus was talking about divorce. and remarriage, and about the necessity for some to be a spiritual eunuch. And while he's talking about that subject, that's when this incident takes place. And while Jesus is teaching, if you can imagine it, then these parents are coming to enter into the circle of Jesus with his disciples. He had talked about this subject broadly with the whole group that had followed him, but then when others left, the disciples asked more pressing questions about that issue. And so Jesus is talking just to them in a smaller circle, tighter circle, and that's when the parents with the infants and the little children are coming. And the disciples are standing in a way. They're pushing these parents aside and not wanting them to interrupt themselves or the Lord. And that's when Jesus says, "Allow, suffer little children to come to me." And then adds, "Forbid them not." We consider this incident under this theme, fitting for a baptism, bringing infants, little children, to Jesus. Bringing our children to Jesus. First of all, we want to consider the event. Secondly, the reason that Jesus gives for allowing or suffering and not getting in the way of the little children coming to Jesus. And that is, "For of such is the kingdom of God," the last part of verse 16. And then we want to consider, finally, the only possibility, and that's found in the 17th verse. So first, the event and the setting for Jesus' statement. And we look at that statement then. "Allow the children to come to me." And then secondly, the reason why. And then thirdly, the only possibility. There are parents bringing children to Jesus. Luke mentions infants. And the Greek word describes a child that is completely dependent on his parents. Completely dependent. That's a malia. Matthew and Mark and Jesus in verse 16 switches the word from infants to little children. And a little child is a toddler. There, the Greek word describes one who can walk a bit, but who would be too young to come on his own. That would be an Eric. That age. So there's a number of parents, because there's the plural of infants, and there's the plural of little children. So there could have been four or more sets of parents who are at this time pressing to come to Jesus. Their intent is that they wanted Jesus, Mark's word, to touch their children or to bless. What kind of a parent, what would be in the mind and soul of a parent that would want the Lord Jesus or Jesus of Nazareth to bless their child? Well, that would be a parent who themselves believed that this was Jesus, that is, Savior. They would have had their focus on an exercise of faith in that one who was the great teacher. Not recognized maybe by the other teachers in Jerusalem, but they recognized him as a teacher. They believed in him. Whom do men say that I am? And they would have been among those who, like the disciples, would say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they had this in their mind and soul too, that not only did they believe that he was the Savior, but they themselves needed him as their Savior. They wanted him. You don't believe in Jesus, the Savior, unless you are also expressing that you realize you have a need for him to save you. But then thirdly, the mindset of these parents is that they knew that their children had that need for the Savior as well. So this is what's working in the mind and souls of these parents who wanted Jesus to touch their children. Not as a politician, touch my baby or kiss my baby. No, they knew that this was Jesus. They needed him. Their children needed him for the very same reason. And the scriptures are pretty clear that these parents didn't hold these convictions of mind and soul rather lightly. They were very convinced of their need, but also of their children's need. And that was evidenced in the fact that the tense of the verb that says brought is a verb that expresses ongoing activity. You don't do it once and, well, we got in the way, we're bothering, it's no problem, we'll leave, we'll come again, we'll try another time. They left. No, the tense of the verb is they tried this side and they were rebuked and they kind of stepped back, but they weren't going to stop. They were going to press their claim. They went again and then again. They kept on bringing. That's the idea. Pretty crucial. Then there's the disciples, kind of ringed around Christ. And they are not just, well, hey, shushing the parents. They're rebuking them. That's the language. They're upset. Don't bother. Don't keep, how many times do I have to tell you, type thing. We tried to tell you once. Didn't you hear us the first time? They get, you know, the pressure rises. The language gets a little sterner. That's the way they did it. Why would they be bothered? Because it was repeated? No. That was, yes, that added to it. But they were bothered because they're troubled themselves about what Jesus is talking about. And again, you have to read Matthew 19. Jesus insists that Moses suffered a writing of divorcement. But he says, no, there's only one reason for why there may be a divorce, and that is fornication. And then he quickly adds, and there's no remarriage. So the disciples, when the crowd leaves, immediately get onto Christ on that very subject and says, we don't get it. Then it's better for a man never to marry. And Jesus then says, there are eunuchs, three types. There are eunuchs that are born that way. There are eunuchs that are made to be eunuchs by another man captured. And then there are eunuchs who will be spiritual eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what they're thinking about. This is tough. And they don't quite get it. And if they don't get it, then the little kids don't get it. And don't bother us. We're trying to focus on something extremely important. It was a hot topic then too. And then little children, they don't get involved in all those details and that kind of a subject. Don't bother the Lord. It is interesting to note that the disciples rebuked whom? They rebuked them, the parents bringing. All that the disciples saw, or their main focus, were the parents. And I point that out because who did Jesus see? And there's a contrast. The disciples saw the parents. Jesus saw the infants and the little children. That's who he saw. They had his attention. And if the disciples were rebuking because they were a little upset with the insistence of these parents at this time, Jesus is immediately grieved. And the gospel narrative of Mark uses some pretty strong and tough language. He is deeply grieved, very grieved, with a holy anger at the disciples. And so that's why he states it twice. First, he puts it in a negative way and an emphatic way. Suffer, allow the children to come unto me. Allow the little children to come. Very interesting language that Jesus uses when he says, come to me. Maybe familiar to you is John 6, verse 37. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the scriptures, the activity of coming to Jesus is an activity of going up to him, of going to him, of seeking him, of wanting him. Jesus expresses it, come to me. And as he says, come, then in a very real way, his arms are extended, just as a father's or a mother's are to their toddler. Come to me. You teach a child to walk, or a child is hurting, and he hurt his finger, and then mother says, come over here, sit by me, come. And when we say come, then we pick them up, and we embrace them, and we put them into our arms, and we hold them, we take them to ourselves. Jesus says, allow the children to come, so that I can embrace them. So that I can talk with them. So that they can talk to me and I to them. So we can communicate with each other. But now, notice that in John 6:37, the ones that come, and he says, thou allow them to come, don't get in the way, allow them to come, are the ones whom the Father hath given to me. Because all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And the language, all that the Father giveth to me, is the language of election. So Jesus is declaring that in the activity of God's eternal counsel, when he elected and gave to Christ, that in the course of their life, they come. And the nature of Jesus to those who come is that he will absolutely not, in no wise, cast them out. All who come unto him, all that the Father hath given shall come, and all who come, he will not cast out. He won't stiff arm. He won't push them back. He won't say, I'm too busy right now. I don't have time. Oh, I'll take care of you later, but not now. No. I will in no wise cast out. And so he adds, not only allow them to come, forbid them not. Don't hinder them. Don't get in the way. In fact, get out of the way. Jesus immediately gives the reason. And the reason is crucial. He says, for of such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. The kingdom of God is in our hearts, means there that there God sits enthroned and he rules. He rules our lives. The kingdom of God is bigger than just our hearts, though. The kingdom of God is that kingdom which God has established under Christ, and Christ is the king, and Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall his empires be. He rules over all. He sits enthroned with everything, all power in heaven and on earth given unto him. When he speaks of that kingdom, here he is speaking of his rule of salvation, a rule that effects salvation. Now he says, of such is the kingdom of God. And now we have to be very careful. Who's the such? Of such is the kingdom. First of all, it's these believing parents. It's not the parents who at that time were living in the Netherlands or in Italy or in China. He's talking about these parents right here that were bringing the children, the infants and the little children to him. He wasn't talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about these parents because they believe in him. And he says, these parents right here, who believe in me, who know their need for me and know their children's need for me. These parents whose earnest desire is that I bless their children. Parents who kept on bringing, even before you knew her sex. Because in the womb, as soon as parents know they're expecting a child, a gift, they start praying. And yes, we pray a lot for physical health. But we learn through that we have to pray for spiritual health. And that we know that's more important. And yet we keep going back and forth. We pray. But we pray. We give that child to Jesus. We keep bringing. This child needs Jesus. Needs Jesus' care. Needs Jesus' love. Now, go back. For of such Now Jesus doesn't say, these are, but he says, of such. The kingdom of God has within it not only adults, believers, but also the elect children of believers. God made a promise, and we read two passages of Scripture in the baptism form to Abraham and out of the mouth of Peter on Pentecost. God gathers in the line of generations. I will be your God and the God of your seed after you. The kingdom has within it the children of believers. And so that's why Apostle Paul, when he writes his letter to the saints at Ephesus, he says that, the saints at Ephesus. Then when he gets to chapter 6, he says, children, obey your parents. So he sees not just adults, but also children among those who are the saints at the church at Ephesus. This activity and this declaration of Jesus is extremely important. Made reference to the marriage form Wednesday night. Let me do it again. The marriage form says that there are three reasons for why God has instituted marriage. Three reasons. The first is that they serve and assist each other. The second, that they be aware that any children that the Lord may be pleased to give them are instructed and taught in the truth. And so, first, do you believe the doctrines of the Old and New Testament to be the doctrines of salvation? Yes. Then, do you promise to see to that she's instructed therein to the utmost of your power? Yes. Then we baptize. So we don't just baptize babies. We baptize babies of professing believers who are faithful in their profession and who vow to teach and train their children. So over against adult baptism, we aren't baby baptizers. Don't say it that way. That's simply, we baptize the infants, the babies, of believing, faithfully believing and faithfully walking and vowing. They had to say yes before the water would be administered. Even in picture form, it's only a picture. But even before the picture would be administered, they had to make a promise. But that promise is, we want to show our children Jesus and their need for Jesus. Now, first of all, their need for Jesus. We want to show them that as cute as they may be and as wonderful as their grandparents tell them they are, that they are sinners. And that they are in need of salvation in Jesus. But if you bring them to Jesus, you don't just say, now look at him, you need him. They bring him and they say, you're forgiven. In the way of your being sorry, I can tell you, you are forgiven. And Jesus covered it. And I love you. I love you because you're my flesh and blood. But I love you especially because I see Jesus in you. And I know Jesus' love for you. To bring to Jesus their need, but also the reality. We hinder in many ways. We are like the disciples and can be like the disciples in many ways. We must consciously show them their need for Jesus. We have all kinds of things that keep us busy, right? And sometimes we have so many things that keep us busy, we don't even have time to tell them and to show them Jesus. But we must not fail to instruct them, but to show them his salvation. We must set before them the need for them to believe, but we must show them the Savior. In addition, we must show them. We can hinder when they point out an inconsistency and we've got excuses. When they point out a sin and we know, they know we did wrong, and we don't say to them, I am sorry. Then Jesus is shouting at us, forbid them not! Don't get in the way! If we're capable well of teaching them they did wrong, but we don't show them love, as often as we hear him tell us he loves us, and we don't turn around and tell them that we love them, when they see us seeking to fulfill only our selfish pleasures, then we hinder. Look at what Jesus did. It is so beautiful. They wanted Jesus to touch their children. Mark chapter 10 highlights that what which we read in Ephesians 3. God does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Just would you touch, would you bless? Jesus took them into his arms. He embraced them. If he was sitting, he had them sit on his lap. He took them and he blessed them. He took them into his fellowship. He gave them everything when he gave them his blessing. The tenderness of our Savior exceeds the tenderness of a mother's love. He embraced them and blessed them. Now, verse 17, the attitude that we must have in coming to Jesus, in bringing our children to Jesus, and not getting in the way, is the attitude of a little child. I want you to notice two things. When Jesus was doing that which was the most important, it was not when he rebuked the disciples. And it was also probably not when he said, I'm going to bless, and he embraced and blessed the children. There are two things about the way in which verse 17 is worded that heightens its importance. This is not an afterthought. This is something that is absolutely necessary to know as he receives these children and blesses them. First of all, verily, that's an emphatic, of a truth. And then what also makes it so emphatic is he says it negatively. He doesn't say it positively. He could have said it positively, but he says it negatively. Whosoever shall not receive these children, shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall not enter therein. You're troubled because of this subject. You're troubled because you don't get it. You may be troubled and bothered because you're disagreeing with me. You may be troubled for all kinds of reasons. Be as a little child. Instinctively, I didn't do it on purpose, but instinctively my hand went down. Why? Because the first thing that characterizes a little child is his awareness of his dependence. A little child is aware of his dependence. He needs, he wants dad, he wants mom. Even when they come home from school, Mom! As a little child. Second, as a little child is an awareness. Maybe when they're real little, it exceeds what it ought to be because they make more of the picture than of the reality. But they think dad can fix anything that they bring that's broken. Anything. Why can't you fix it, Dad? Here, fix it. Mom is supposed to heal all the little wounds, all the injuries. There is a humility, but there is also a tremendous amount of confidence and trust that a little child places in its parents to care for it. Something frightens them. Where do they go? Into the arms of mom. Because mom and dad will, my dad is bigger than, he can take care of me. To enter into the kingdom is to be saved. To enter into the kingdom, you have to receive the kingdom as a little child. The way to the consciousness of entrance is in the receiving. Now, he had said, come to me. That's the tight connection between what he said to the disciples. Don't get in the way. Let them come to me. As they come, they are performing this activity of receiving the kingdom. To receive is a word that means to embrace. Jesus embraces. Then we who are as little children don't. You know what it is sometimes, sadly, to embrace someone and you hit a slippery fish or a fence post. You hug and there's stiffness. Not here. When Jesus embraces, then to receive is, in this is literally the word, to embrace favorably. The child jumps into the parent's arms and doesn't become stiff. The child jumps into the parent's arms, and as the parent embraces it and holds it, the child puts his arms around the parent's neck. Receive. Now spiritually, the truths of salvation, the truth of forgiveness, the truth of righteousness, the truth that we must obey and love Him in return, and then love the ones that He has placed next to us as we walk through our pilgrim path. We receive the kingdom. We are going to acknowledge His right to rule. When He tells me to love this one, I'm going to love because I receive the kingdom. His rule over me. When He tells me to believe this truth, I will embrace that truth and strive to embrace it with all that I can, because I am under the submission and rule to my Savior Jesus Christ. Humbly, trustingly. And then Jesus makes it emphatic, and this is the only way that you can receive the kingdom and come to Jesus, is as a little child. And that's the only way that Dave and Pam and any of us can bring our children that we bring into this world corrupt and sinful and damn worthy. Notice that was the first question. Do you believe that even though they are damn worthy, yet sanctified in Christ. And then we look and we say, all of mine better be, Lord. No. Humble trust. Lord, if you take any, it's not what I deserve. Humble trust. A little child. Not, why, Lord? That's the teenager. A little older. Challenging. No, a little child. Childlike faith that believes his word, that holds it for truth. May God bless us so we take that attitude towards his rule. Amen. Bless thy word, our Father. We've talked about it for a little while. Drive it home in such a way that we have heard our Savior speak these words to us. And may we trust him to have spoken them right when we needed them. Bless David and Pam as they committed themselves in a vow to thee before the church. Bless all who have made such vows. Bless all of us in the making of any vow, marriage, confession of faith, as we express our thanks and submission to the rule of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What better rule can there be? He's our Savior. We love thee, Father. And we love thy Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen.